We're all back in the country to continue our wildcard squad build. We have an in-depth discussion on midfielders and who we'd go for alongside Salah. The eternal Haaland debate continues and Jules reveals his wildcard is almost active. Hello everyone, it's Thursday. Welcome back to the FPL pod. Another podcast for you despite there being no FPL this weekend as we continue to look ahead to the season running. A reminder, as I said, there's no FPL this weekend because there is the FA Cup. Then we do return. We're going to return again on Monday, by the way, because the Premier League returns in midweek. So hello, as always, to Julian Neron and Sam Bonfield. And Sam, we're all back in the country.
Just about. I had a bit of a nightmare with Heathrow.
We probably don't have time
now
on this podcast to relay your story.
Forget about that. I'm here now.
Sam got stranded in the Heathrow mess. I came through Heathrow last night and discovered I'd left half my belongings in where I was on holiday. So I'm having a bit of a disaster this morning. Jules, bit of a calmer week for you?
Yeah, much, much calmer. Just a trip to Paris. But that was easy, you know, on the train. So I feel for
you. Regular. You're there and back every week, aren't you, pretty much?
Yeah, too much right now. Too much. But no, I'm back and ready for the weekend.
Do you have a bit of news when it comes to your FPL team as well, Jules?
A bit of news as in what I'm doing actually with the team?
Yes.
Yeah, because on the last show, we talked about when to play your wild card and what to do with all your chip because there's obviously not many game weeks left. And for some of us, there's still like bench boost and the free hit and the wild card and the assistant manager chip, all of that. And then I thought, do we play the wild card in game week 30, game week 31? And I actually think that game week 30 is a good time to play. So we can discuss that a bit later.
Okay, yeah, so that's good news because we have been talking about wild cards a lot. It is an international break, so it does mean that a lot of people are very tempted to use that second wild card. It's a really good time to play it, of course. There's currently over 124,000 of the chips active. It was 78,000 when we recorded last week. Sam, is this around the point that you thought it would have been?
Yeah, it's weird, isn't it? Because normally in an international break, particularly this international break, I'd expected that number to be a lot higher. But I think because we've coming out of the international break and then into the FA Cup, and there's still so much that can happen between now and the game week 30 deadline on Tuesday, that I guess maybe some people are just waiting it out and waiting to see what happens with the FA Cup. And maybe we might see, by the time we're recording on Monday morning, I wouldn't be surprised if that number's quite a lot higher.
And also, of course, it is international break as well, which means that players have been playing. It's Thursday morning now. At this point, I think all of the games are over, aren't they? The last games are like the Wednesday night. I think that's about right, isn't it? Yeah, so I think there'll probably be a lot of concerns, a lot of injury concerns, which we'll talk about in a little bit more detail throughout the podcast when we do continue our wildcard squad. A reminder that if you didn't listen to the pod last week, it might be worth listening to it just because we are building our perfect wildcard squad and we're going through by position. So yeah, we did the goalkeepers and the defenders last week. So definitely worth listening back to that. Before we continue with our wildcard squad building, Jules, this is your time to shine. Whilst myself and Sam have been abroad, you were in Paris, but you also watch everything regardless of where you are. Is there any headlines from the international break that we need to know?
Yeah, loads of things happen. Loads of good things as well for us managers in the game. Let's start with England, obviously, because it was a really good week for Maj-Lewis Kelly, for example.
Are you being complimentary about England? Sorry.
That's not what I said. I said it was good for
Maj-Lewis
Kelly.
For England.
Exactly. Or for Reece James, who scored a lovely free kick. Not so much for Phil Foden, who once again had a bit of an anonymous game. Erling Haaland scored and Martin Odegaard was very good in Norway's win against Israel. We saw good Jeremy Doku and Kevin De Bruyne, especially in the second leg of Belgium game against Ukraine. Mo Salah played twice 90 minutes, scored and assisted in one of the games. Ruiz Diaz played twice 90 minutes with Colombia as well and also scored in both games. Alexander Isak had a goal and an assist against Northern Ireland with Sweden, did really well in that game. Even Højlund scored and then trolled Cristiano Ronaldo somehow for Denmark. Cunha and João Pedro were both started one game each for Brazil. Didn't go that great, but still. And Chris Wood had a hat-trick with New Zealand. New Zealand is already qualified for the World Cup, by the way, and then got yellow carded because he went in the stand to sign autographs. That was a little bit weird. and I think I will finish with Raul Jimenez, who was outstanding for Mexico in their Nations League semi-final and final, scoring against the USA and then against Panama as well in the final. So well done to him.
Just on the subject of Chris Wood, there was a few concerns around him, Sam, wasn't there, in terms of injury?
Takes a blow to the hip, doesn't he, as he's making a shot. Yeah, we'll have to see. I think there's quite conflicting information out there about him at the moment. The positive thing for us is that obviously Nottingham Forest play at the weekend, so we should get a bit of an update from Nuno as to exactly what the deal is with Chris Wood, because for a lot of managers, myself included, I think all three of us have got Chris Wood. He's quite an integral part of our FPL teams and wasn't a player that I was thinking I was going to have to deal with after the international break. So it will throw people's plans out. And it's injuries like that, the fact that Anthony Robinson withdrew from the US squad, having been fine in the game against Spurs the weekend before, Anthony Gordon, all these kind of players that people have in their teams, if you start to see those flags building, then actually it might be a bit like Jules was saying, that you start to think about that wild card and whether it's worth just doing a very quick one ahead of game week 30 instead of holding it for 31.
Yeah, I did check, and The Athletic were reporting on Tuesday, I think it was, that he's expected to be assessed on Thursday, Chris Wood. So keep an eye out or an ear out for what Nuno Espirito Santo says. They do face Brighton in the FA Cup this weekend, so maybe they'll opt to rest him and hopefully he'll be back for the midweek. We'll have to find out. Okay then, let's go back to our wildcard squad then, and it's time to move on to the attacking players. This is potentially one of the hardest parts of the pitch for me, I think, in terms of midfielders. There are 29 midfielders that have scored over 100 points this season. Is Salah still essential? I can't even believe I'm actually asking this, because I think I can answer it. He is, isn't he, Jules?
Yeah, I think he is. I think it would be mad not to pick him in your team if you're playing your wild card, if you're whatever you're doing. If you have him already, don't let him go. If you don't have him somehow, you're probably the only one in the world, then find a way of having him. Also, because I think Liverpool could, if they keep that gap between them and Arsenal, wrap up the title very soon. And after that, it's a little bit free flow because you're already champions. You could easily see then Mo Salah keep scoring and keep having ranking points basically for us in the game. So it's been incredible so far this season. Yes, lately Liverpool maybe haven't been as great because they lost obviously the League Cup final and in the Champions League too. But I think even if they're maybe not at their absolute best like they were previously in the season, it's still Mo Salah. He's still the best player in the league by far. And they are still the best team in the league too. So yeah, I think he's a must-have, of course.
Why would people be considering moving Salah on, Sam? Do you think there are people that are considering it?
Yeah, I think there are. I think there's a couple of reasons. I think one is when you wildcard, you think about the budget as a whole for the first time, maybe all season, or at least since the first wildcard was played. So over the course of most of the weeks where you're making your transfers, you're just looking at what budget do I have available? What's in my bank? How much can I get out of the player that I'm thinking about selling? And how much do I need for the player I'm thinking about buying? Whereas when you're wildcarding, I kind of look at it as, right, well, I'll take everyone back out and then I've got a pot of money again to spend. Now, obviously, I don't actually take them all out, but I see the pot as a whole. And people will kind of look at it and go, well, if I've got, if I've been building my team value and say I've got 102, 103, 104 million to spend on my team, how much of that is going on premium assets? Now, over the course of this season, we actually haven't had that many premium assets where we've really wanted to invest. It's been Haaland and Salah at the beginning, but then obviously Haaland hasn't really been setting the world on fire. We'll talk about him a lot more later. But if you do want to go back to a system where you have Haaland, if you want to keep Cole Palmer, and he's another conversation that I'm sure we're going to have in a minute, if Bukayo Saka comes back and suddenly we want him in our teams as well, then you're looking at upwards of 40 million for those players. And if you're spending that level, that's going to compromise the rest of your team. So I think people will just assess all of the premium assets and think about which one of them is the most important to own. Now, for me, Salah remains the most important player to have in your team. And I wouldn't even consider not having him. He's got 17 double-digit hauls so far this season. Last season, no one had more than 10 across the whole season. In the two seasons that were previous, no one had more than 11. So the fact that he's already on 17 and we are at game week 30 is madness. And as Jules said, I think over the next couple of weeks, we'll probably see Liverpool crown champions. And at that point, you just start playing without any kind of fear, don't you? And it's like, well, it's done now. Let's just do it and have fun. So I can only see positive things for Salah. Plus, depending on your strategy for game week 34 and the blank, we know that he's guaranteed to have a fixture. So if you're not planning to use a free hit, then he's a very important player to have.
I just think you're bonkers if you're selling Salah. That's my conclusion from even without hearing all of those wonderful stats that we reel off every week. I just think it's bonkers. So, okay, so it's almost a given, isn't it? Let's not discuss Salah anymore. The other premium of midfielders are a bit tougher because I feel like if we were talking, well, obviously, if we were talking pre-Christmas, everyone wanted Cole Palmer or had Cole Palmer, Jules. It feels like it's a different conversation now, not only given his form, but also, of course, the fact that he missed out in the last game week. He's still got a yellow flag above him. Do you think it's time to sell, given the form and the injury?
Yeah, I mean, the injury is obviously the first thing because he might not be in great form, which he isn't. I think his last goal is January 14th against Bournemouth. So that's a lot of games. I think almost 10, I think it's 10 games without anything. Not even an assist, not a goal, just nothing. And he missed penalties, he missed chances. The confidence is really low. But that you can turn that around. They are the best players in the world. So at some point, that would stop. The problem is if he's injured and can't play, that's not going to stop now. So the injury, which I think is not a worry so much because he's had the international break almost 2 weeks. Chelsea are not obviously playing in the FA Cup, so there's nothing for him this weekend. So he should be okay really for game week 30 and the midweek range of fixtures. So then we can talk about the form, not just his form, the form of his own team, because Chelsea haven't been great, haven't been good at all lately. There's probably a cause and consequence between all of that, because he hasn't been great. The team is not playing as well, obviously, because he was such a key part of everything good that team was doing this season and last season, that if they have a Cole Palmer not in good form, then everybody struggles and the whole team struggles. I'm just not sure when he's turning, really. And he's expensive, really expensive. And I think right now, there's so many better options than Cole Palmer that I'm not sure if he should be in your wildcard team.
Yeah, he's a sell for me, Sam. What do you think?
God, it's difficult though, I think, with Palmer, because everything that you've just said is right. Like, I think it's 1 goal in 7 in the Premier League, which is, you know, bad enough. But then, as Jules said, when you add in the European matches and all of that, that number goes up without extra goals and extra points. So it's a difficult one. The problem I have is that I know he's one of those players that if you take him out and you then don't have the budget left because you spent it elsewhere, and then he starts performing well, which Chelsea are going to need to towards the back end of the season if they want to qualify for European football again in terms of the Champions League and all of that jazz. So I think he's a difficult sell, particularly if he is fit for the Spurs game, because he has a really good record against Spurs. It's 3 goals and an assist in 3 appearances in the Premier League against us. Like, it would not surprise me to see him find form quickly after the international break. He's been out in Dubai, I think, and had a back scan, which was clear. So I would struggle. And this is part of the reason I don't want a wild card right now, because we are unlikely to know too much information about Cole Palmer ahead of the deadline, because that's Chelsea and Spurs game is on the Thursday night. And so we may not have firm word on Palmer ahead of that deadline on the Tuesday evening, which would make him, for me, a difficult sell. But then it's frustrating if you get to the game and he's not starting because you kept all that money sitting then on the bench effectively and you haven't used it. So I think if I was wildcarding, I would still have him, but I would also have him there partially as a placeholder for Bukayo Saka when he returns from injury.
Yeah, I guess you do have to think about how to get him back. But I feel like I've been holding him since that goal mid-January in the hope that he scores another. It's so much money. I think Saka's a really interesting point amongst it all though, Jules, because we're going to want him back quite soon, aren't we, I'd have thought?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think he could be back for the game against Fulham at the Emirates on Tuesday night. I think he's not far from being ready, really, to do that. Then there's the Everton game. And then there's the Champions League, obviously, which is massive against Real Madrid. First at home and then back-to-back week again in the Champions League. The return leg then in Madrid. So the thing with Saka is that I don't expect him to start if he's in the squad against Fulham, more to get 30 minutes because he's been out for so long that you don't just throw him at the deep end straight away and then expect him to start and do well. So you could expect him gradually, I think, a bit of time against Fulham, maybe a bit more against Everton. I think the idea is to get him ready for that Real Madrid first leg, really. So there's a bit of time before that. But he should be back, really, in April. And then how long do you wait to bring him back into your team? Because again, it's a lot of money, of course, for Bukayo Saka, and he might need 1, 2, 3, maybe 4 Premier League matches to really get going again and getting close to his best each time. But if you bring him into your team and there's blanks for 3 weeks in a row, 4 weeks, at this stage of the season with all the other midfielders options that you have, it's a waste. You can't really do that. So you have to bring in Saka when you think he's going to hit form and return for you, because otherwise it's a massive waste of money. I mean, we love him, but it's the truth, right? You can't have him in your team if he's not returning and performing. How long will he need to be back to something close to his best or able to return in the game for us? That's the big question.
Okay, so maybe hold fire and don't go too early on Saka, but just watch and see him as he builds up his minutes. Sounds like the message there from Jules. Bruno Fernandes is an interesting one, Sam, because a lot of people brought him in for Cole Palmer. Congratulations if you did do that last week, because it certainly benefited, didn't it? Lots of people wanted Bruno Fernandes and Manchester United players, as we saw Jules scored big on those last game week as well. But they are third bottom on the FDR. For me, though, Bruno seems the one Man United player that could maybe still warrant a place in your team despite those fixtures.
Yeah, I think I agree with that. I think, you know, the way that he's playing, he's so integral to everything that they do and obviously has penalties. And that's another thing, isn't it? When you're looking at a wildcard squad, I like to build in as many players as possible with additional routes to points. So they take free kicks, they take penalties, they take corners. That's perfect because it ideally puts them in a position where they can really overachieve in terms of the game. And Bruno Fernandes obviously fits that bill nicely. But when you look at the fixtures in the next 3 weeks, it's Nottingham Forest, Man City and Newcastle. Like, those are not easy fixtures. That's a really difficult run that they've got, including the Manchester derby. And then after that, the fixtures that follow they're a little bit more mixed, I think. It's Wolves, Bournemouth, Brentford, West Ham, Chelsea and Villa to end the season. So I wouldn't go elsewhere in Manchester United. I think if you've got a Manchester United defender, if you're invested in Onana, if you've got one of Xerxes or Højlund up top, I wouldn't want to keep them. But Bruno, I think, is a more interesting pick and potentially is one that you could hold, because there's a number of players in that kind of 8 to 8.5 bracket who have got much nicer fixtures than he has, but equally he's the one that's in better form than a lot of them. So the potential there is to keep and then obviously just use that money to switch across to a different 8 million midfielder a couple of weeks down the line if the kind of gamble on Bruno hasn't paid off.
Are you going to keep him on your wildcard, Jules?
Yeah, I think so. And also because United, I think, have improved a bit, to be fair to them. I mean, we've been critical enough of how bad they've been this season to say when they improve, they're improving. Also, they've done well in 2025 against big teams. You know, there's the draw against Liverpool. There's what happened in against Arsenal in the league and in the FA Cup too. There's the win against City. Okay, sometimes he was a little bit like, far-fetched might not be the right word, but a bit late and not always perfect, but still the results have been there. So yeah, you can look at it, and Sam is right, it's a tough schedule, certainly the first three game weeks, but then you think, yeah, but they're also capable, because you don't really know what to expect from them. They are capable of really good things and then being very, very average too. So for that, you keep him. And to be fair, he's 8.5 million. Cole Palmer is at 10.8. So that's 2.3 in difference. So if you play well, you can even have Bruno. And if Cole Palmer starts playing well again and scoring again, and you find that extra 2.something million, then you might be able just to swap Bruno for Cole Palmer, or even Saka at some point if Saka is firing towards the end of the season. I know there's still a bit of a gap between their prices, but still 2.3 million, you can find it really. So that's also a way of seeing it maybe.
Yeah, it sounds like there's going to be quite a lot of differences in people's teams aside from Salah, because there's no kind of shoo-ins as there were with Palmer and even Saka when he was fit. What about the Manchester City midfielders, Sam? Because we know that Jules has already mentioned Phil Foden's form, so perhaps we don't need to go into that. And Kevin De Bruyne, we know when they're fit, normally we'd want a way into that Manchester City attack, especially when they've got the fixtures they have coming. But have you seen enough to warrant any inclusion?
No, not with the midfielders for me. And that's such a weird thing to say, because normally I'd look at a fixture run like Man City have got. So Leicester, United, Palace, Everton, Villa, Wolves, Southampton, Bournemouth, Fulham to end the season. That's just mad, right? So normally I'd look at those fixtures and go, right, how am I trebling up on Manchester City? Obviously, I'm going to have Haaland. Maybe I should have a Vardy. Obviously, he picked up some kind of knock over the international break as well, so that's one to monitor as well. And then I'd want a midfielder as well, one per position. But I look at it and I go, I don't think that the likes of KDB and Phil Foden are at the moment worth the level of money that you have to spend on them. I'd rather stick with Palmer than have one of those two. So if that's the case, is there somebody in the cheaper bracket now, Doc, who's been interesting at points this season? You've got a number of cheaper midfielders that you could go to. But for me, and this is a conversation for when we get to the forwards, if I was going to double up on the City attack, it would be with the two forwards. And because I think Marmoush offers better value than all of the Manchester City midfielders do right now. So I'd rule out having a Manchester City defender on that basis.
Yeah. What did you say, defender, Sam?
Yeah, so normally I'd go for a defender, a midfielder and a forward. Yeah. But at this point, I don't think you want to go for a defender because they haven't been keeping clean sheets. There's been like goals let in here and there. But so I wouldn't want, and then I'd look at the midfielders and go, well, in reality, some of them are too expensive. So I think I'd rather have Marmoush, and if you can afford it, Marmoush and Haaland up top for that run, than I would have, say, Haaland and a midfielder or even Marmoush and a midfielder.
Such a weird situation to be in, isn't it? Like scrambling around trying to find a Man City player when they've got these fixtures. It is mad. Do you agree on City, Jules?
Yeah, I think it would be wise to have a City player, but find the right one. So whether that's Haaland and you've got the money for it, whether that's Marmoush, I think one is probably, you can try to have two, but I think at least one. Doku and Savinho are 6.2 million. So in those midfield slot, we talked about the price of Palmer at 10.5 million or 10.38 even. Bruno at 8.5, 6.2 for a Doku or Savinho. The problem is they are, as we've seen all season long, capable on their day to be really good and also have no end product, and you feel frustrated and you're watching the game, you think like, why is he even in my team? Why is he doing? Why is there not an assist or a goal there? For me, you can go for Gvardiol, but defensively, we've said they haven't been able to keep clean sheets enough in the season to really to justify almost the price of Gvardiol. Yeah, going forward, he's great. He's the defender with the most goals this season in the league. I get that, but it's still expensive. So it's either Haaland, Marmoush, Doku or Savinho for me. The others, Foden, KDB, Bernardo Silva, whoever you want, Nico, another defender, the goalkeeper, whether it's Ortega or Ederson, doesn't make much sense, really. It's one of those four.
Okay, so it feels like we're discussing a lot of midfielders, but we're not really settling on any. Basically, we're just telling you which one's probably not to go for at the moment. There's a yes for Salah, a maybe for Bruno. If you can find one that you think is good, go for City, but probably don't. Saka, maybe go for eventually. Palmer, maybe keep, but maybe don't. So yeah, we've got one midfielder as it stands, Sam. Throw some other names in.
Palace. Oh, here we go again.
Of course. Daniel Munoz. Did you see him with Colombia? No, I'm glad you didn't see him because you would have stopped loving him so much.
Oh, yeah, but we can't talk about him today. I'm banned from talking about him because we're on to the midfielders. But genuinely, and this isn't my weird Crystal Palace loving coming back again, but I genuinely do think that Crystal Palace, given the fact that they've got a double game week as well in game week 32, so they are a team that you would want to highly invest in. Plus, they've got Southampton coming up in midweek and then the game against Brighton. The double's not great. It's Man City and Newcastle, but I genuinely do think that you want both. Now, annoyingly, Kels, over the last couple of weeks, Ismail Assar has massively trolled us both from when we owned him and he did absolutely nothing. Now he's decided to be peak everything that you would want in a midfielder in FPL, which is incredibly frustrating. The conversation between Sar and Eze, though, is difficult. Like, I've spent a lot of time backwards and forwards this week on because I'm probably going to invest. I might even treble up on Palace this week, to be honest. But ideally, having at least one of these two, I think, is important. Sar beats Eze on almost every metric in terms of underlying stats, except for total efforts and assists. Everything else, Sar wins on. He's got more goals, they have more shots inside the box, he's got the higher XG, he's got the higher XGI. Like, everything is looking good. And since game week 10, of the cheap midfielders, he's seventh for big chances for big chances with 16. That is more than the likes of Palmer. It's more than the likes of Brian Mbeumo. It's more than the likes of Chris Wood, who everybody is like waxing lyrical about how brilliant he's been this season. His 24 shots in that period is also more than Mateta has had, which, you know, we all know how much I love Mateta. But so I think Eze and Ismail Assar, one of them definitely, potentially both of them.
Jules, which way do you lean? I just can't believe you'd even be tempted to go back to Sar after he trolled us. It's a personal thing. Although I do love him for his Watford connections.
Yeah,
of course.
Go on, Jules.
I mean, Saar had those two brilliant returns, didn't he, in the game, 11 points and 15 points of his last three. It was for Eze, despite a really good January, it's been a bit more difficult in terms of returns. I mean, because like Sam said, I think during games, the what he's produced hasn't been too bad, but then he hasn't been reflected then in the game for us. So there's no point. He can be the greatest player of all time if there's no assist or no goals for us. It's like if it was me playing, basically. So, and you don't want me in your team. Well, you can. I think you should. I should be your Daniel
Nunes.
Move
on.
Sorry. So I don't know. I'm not sure. Saar can be very mercurial, as you've experienced yourself, right? Because we have high expectations, and then, but I think Palace, they're a good team to invest in. Really. And I think whether you go for Mateta, doubling up, I'm not sure, trebling up, only Sam Bonfield really can do that, can pull this one out. But at least one of Eze, Sam, Mateta, yeah, who knows, as we know, and maybe Henderson, I don't know, Gay, somebody like that, if you want to. But I think they're a good team to invest in.
What about Bournemouth? The eternal conundrum, which Bournemouth midfielder to go for? Some people, some idiots like me, have had various double ups at points and it's not worked out. I wish I'd just stuck with Kluivert. I've tried Kluivert and Dango together. That didn't work. Got rid of Dango. I've tried Kluivert and Semenyo. It's only been going for 1 week, but I'm already kind of regretting it. But where do you rest on the Bournemouth debate, Jules? Firstly, you. Would you have one? Would you have two? Ipswich, West Ham, Fulham, Crystal Palace, next four.
Yeah, really good fixture. I would go for Justin Kluivert. He started both games with the Netherlands in the international, but against Spain in the Nations League, not just your qualifiers like England or your like friendlies. And he did well. He had an assist in the first leg. I thought he did well in the second leg too, in very open games where his qualities are there to shine, because that's where he plays the best. So I even think for somebody like him, who maybe we didn't expect to start for a team like the Netherlands, really, it must be a massive boost. You can just imagine. We say often on the show after the international break, but for players like him, same with Maj Lewis Skelly that we mentioned, imagine you played for your national team, sometimes it's your debut, sometimes you don't expect to start in a team loaded with talent, and then you do, the boost that you must have then coming back for your club is massive. Yeah. So I think Kluivert is in, I know before that he had an assist and a goal, but he was, like you said it, Kelly, every time you were watching, you were frustrated because you wonder how much he didn't get more in Premier League matches for you. I still think he's really good at the moment, so I go for Kluivert.
Sam?
Yeah, I just agree with what George just said. I think Kluivert is the best option. He is a player that I don't have, and alongside all
would
of the
Palace
love
I
have.
Would you bring him even in wildcard? Would you bring him in?
I would, yeah, I will.
I would. If I was wildcarding, I'd bring him in. I might even transfer him in this week. Like, I think he's that important over the next few weeks. Genuinely watching him, particularly in that game against Spurs a couple of weeks back, like, I honestly couldn't tell you how he's just got what he got and how he didn't get an absolute monster haul. And I know if you look at the stats, you know, of his 12 goals, six of them are penalties, but that's why we own penalty takers, right? We bring them in for that very reason, because they have that additional route to points. And, you know, last season we all had Palmer in that kind of cheap price point because he was on penalties. He was regularly returning. I feel like Kluivert is the similar person in our team for this season. Like, he's the cheap asset that's on penalties, that's regularly returning, playing in a Bournemouth side that are doing really nice things and playing really good football. So for me, Kluivert would be a no-brainer on a wild card. He'd be a tick in the box.
More difficult question when it comes to Brentford, Sam?
Definitely. And I think it's hard, isn't it? Because when you look at the next 3 weeks, it's Newcastle, Chelsea, Arsenal, and then it eases up slightly, but not really, because it's Brighton, Forest, Manchester United before Ipswich, Fulham and Wolves to end the season. I don't really know what to do with Mbeumo. Like, he sits in that mid-price point where I have high expectations of the players that sit there, because I'm spending a lot of money on them. So I want them to be returning every single week. Now, obviously, that's not realistic to expect them to get a goal every week, but that's kind of my mindset when I'm spending that level of money. If I'm spending 7 or 6 on a player, I'm sort of happy for it to be a return every other week. Like, I don't have the same level of expectation on them. Whereas with him, I do. And I think, you know, earlier on in the season, he was regularly returning, and again, needs penalties and all of that stuff. But at that price point, with the fixtures the way that they are, they're right down there on the FDR with Manchester United right at the bottom, just Everton and Fulham with a worse set of fixtures to end the season. I'm really on the fence with him. I'm going to hold him for now because I'm not wildcarding, but I think when I wildcard, I'll end up losing him.
Scares me. I mean, I don't have him, but that was one of my regrets earlier in the season. It feels like we all saw the fixtures turn. We all sold him. But I am inclined to agree with Sam. Are you, Jules?
Yeah. Yeah. I just, and again, Brentford can beat anybody really in the Premier League. In any league, you can have great games and beat even top teams. That fixture list really scares me for them. So I would not invest in Brentford.
Okay, any other names that we need to throw in? Because I think we've just about settled on two, or maybe three. Yeah, well, there's two that we kind of agree on, I think, in terms of Salah and Kluivert. Sam's going to throw in, I think, Sarr, correct?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I would give you Gibbs
White. I'm confused, Sam. Right, I've predicted. Okay, no, but let me predict Sam's, because she's thrown me a little bit here. Sam's gone. Salah,
yeah.
Sarr.
Yeah.
Who have I just forgotten? I've just forgotten the one I said. Kluivert. Who are your other two? Rogers, Bruno? Marcus Rogers? We haven't discussed him yet.
I'd have Palmer.
Oh, she said she'd stay with Palmer. Controversial decision, I think, that. Yeah. Big decision. I understand it.
Now, the fifth one for me is interesting, because I don't want a free hit in game week 34. For me,
that has to come into your thinking with this, actually, doesn't it? It's a really good point.
So that is really important. I want to hold the chip, because I really want a free hit 38. Like, that's now my thing. Like, and so because of that, that basically means at the moment it's really difficult to pick that fifth spot, because it would be another Liverpool mid, which, you know, we could go back there. We could go back for a Luis Diaz or a Jota, or it's another Chelsea. I think just Palmer's enough. Or it's Spurs. Let's move on quickly. So at the moment it's a struggle, but after the weekend we'll have a much better insight as to which other teams and which other matches are going to feature in game week 34. And at that point, I'll then be able to make a firm decision. If Crystal Palace ends up having a fixture in 34, then I'll do Eze and Sarr.
Palace double up. This loving's getting ridiculous, Jules.
Yeah, I agree.
But okay, I'm not going to be able to. I can kind of guess Jules's, because he shouted a name out before I asked him, which is helpful. You're going to go Salah.
Yeah.
I think you might go Morgan Gibbs-White. Don't know where I've got that from.
Maybe.
Justin Kluivert.
Yeah.
Bruno Fernandes.
Yeah.
And who's your fifth?
So, quickly, because I know
we
already...
No, sit no, back,
no,
guys.
No. And not just because he's from Paris, obviously, but it's a big help. Oh. But Wilson Odobert was outstanding with the front under 21
team.
Yeah, that is Spurs.
Hold Wilson on a Odobert sec.
What's happening?
Is my computer broken?
No, listen. He's cheap. So this fifth...
You okay?
For me, this fifth spot has to be a... Cheaper option, right? Because I won't have any money left anyway. And I think at 5.3 million, which is cheaper than Morgan Rogers, for example, I think Odobert is amazing. And he was so good in this international break. Everybody was really impressed with him. I think even before this game, now he's come back from injury, he's done well with Spurs when he played. So I'm just saying, for a cheeky fifth midfielder, I'm just saying, like, Paris born and bred, handsome, smart, quick, really good footballer, a bit like me, put him in your team.
I knew you were going to say that.
5.3 million. Wilson Odobert, that's all I'm saying.
It's also part of your thinking with the cheap fifth that you need to keep some money for your assistant manager.
Yeah, exactly. There's a bit of that too. And I really think that...
Yeah, that's a good point.
There's that. And also, I know Ange loves him. And I think the fact that he was injured after starting pretty well the season, I think, was a blow. And now he's back. I wouldn't be surprised at all if he was playing a lot. I'm not saying he's going to start every game and really tear it apart. But I think he will have a lot of game time. And I think he could do really well for Spurs. So, it's a fifth midfielder spot. I'm not saying that he should be the star and the captain of your team every week. But yeah, I want to believe in him, really.
We've spent a lot of time talking about the more expensive midfielders, really. And perhaps I think our conversation has shown that there is a bit of a lack of options when it comes to that price bracket. It feels like maybe we have overlooked the cheaper midfielders. And that fifth midfielder, it's a really important point that you make when discussing Jules's fifth midfielder then, because people will still have the assistant manager chip to play. So we'll have to bear that in mind when distributing their budget. Sam, who would you say is the kind of best fifth midfielder option or some of the cheaper midfielder options people would go for?
Jacob Murphy's one I've considered, because obviously they have the double in coming up, and then they'll obviously have the blank as well, so that they'll be playing in, because you know that, so that's important. And I think again it's going to depend on your strategy, isn't it? It's also going to partly depend on if you've got your bench boost still to play, because if you're wildcarding towards a bench boost team, you do need to make sure that they can't just be a burner slot. And it's the same with the forward line, right? You're going to need to have someone that's going to be playing, and if they're not going to be playing, you need to be fairly sure that they're going to at least come off the bench and get you some points. I think it depends on what you're going to do in your forward line. If you're going to go Salah, and then the next most expensive midfielder you're going to have is going to be Bruno, it is going to be quite easy for you to have a fifth midfielder that is worth somewhere around the 6 to 6.5 million, and you won't necessarily need Morgan Rogers' levels of saving budget. But you could, you know, you still could go back to Morgan Rogers if you wanted to. Their fixtures aren't, they're not terrible to end the season. There's some nice ones in there. And when it's your fifth midfielder, you're only going to be playing them like every now and then, and it's only really going to be when you're bench boosting. So if you're going to bench boost maybe in game week, say 36 in one of the doubles, then you could have a look at, you know, you want to look at the fixtures that are there. So potentially go for somebody like Anthony Elanga. Like, he's one that I've considered keeping.
Would you have said that a week before the last game week, though?
No, probably would have said Morgan Gibbs White before the last game week. Yeah, probably would have said Gibbs White.
Is there a conversation to be had around those two? Because you've both kind of thrown in those Nottingham Forest midfielders. By the way, we're going to have to move on soon because I'm going to get in so much trouble. But the midfielder chat is just so interesting, I think.
Yeah, it is, yeah. I think the Nottingham Forest midfielders are really nice options. The Forest fixtures are great.
Yeah.
You're probably gonna if Wood is fit and fine, then you're gonna probably have him as one of your forwards. Then you're probably gonna go with one of either Sells in goal, or you're gonna have a defender, as we talked about last week. So then I think you can afford to have one of the midfielders. And to be fair, Anthony Elanga has been my fifth midfielder for a few weeks now. And you're right, he's been really frustrating because I've benched a load of points out of him. And I think that's just something you have to accept. But I'd rather that than have a player that maybe doesn't start or maybe doesn't bring any points in at all. Because when it gets to that point where I want to bench boost, you're going to need them to play, right? And also, there are some weeks then you want to rotate out your third forward and play him instead. So I quite like the idea of going for both, either or of them. It's just that Anthony Elanga's cheaper. That's the reason that I would put him in instead.
Okay, we're going to move on because we're so far through this podcast. If you're listening, take a look now at how far through we are, and you'll realise we're not going to talk about forwards for very long because we try and keep this podcast within 45 minutes. We were really good last week, but this week, we can blame me because I've asked too many questions. Yeah, always blame the presenter, Jules, you know that. Except when you're presenting, so you do that on occasion. I'm sure it's not your fault then. Forwards, there are 13 of them who have broken the 100-point barrier this season. They've probably been some of the tricky decisions we've actually had to make. So it's great I've left such a short amount of time to talk about them, really. They haven't been as high scoring consistently as perhaps we've seen in previous seasons. In fact, only 9 forwards have scored more than 10 goals. See, all of that said, I actually don't think it's because of that. There's not as many options, which hopefully is going to make this a shorter conversation. Firstly, let's have the conversation that I know a lot of people are having. Erling Haaland on a wildcard for you, Jules.
Yeah, for me, of all the forwards, really, this is the big conundrum on what to do, really, the big dilemma. Mm-hmm. Do you find that money and bring him in, or you don't? He's returning 5 of the last 7 games. And we've said before, he's still not at his best. You can tell, one, because of the rest of the team behind him, the service is not so much there for him. So it's not like before where he used to have 3-4 big chances every game and you knew he would take at least 2 of those 4. Now it's not the case. We discussed it for the Forest game. He had 3 touches in the Forest box. What do you want him to do with 3 touches? Well, nothing. Well, he did nothing. And that's one of the 2 games that he didn't return. The other one was Liverpool, and it's the same. There was no service for him. So he can be the best striker in the world. If the ball doesn't come to him in good area, he's not going to do anything. So this is still the thing that where I'm a little bit, not skeptical, but just a bit wary of, like, okay, it's a lot of money. I don't want to build my team around him again, like we could have done before, because he was such a guarantee. Now, so I need the team to still be good outside of him. And I'm not sure with all the money involved in him that would be the case. And there are other great options, I think. So I'm still really, really 50-50 in between. I'm sorry, I sit a bit on the fence, but it's the truth. I'm just not convinced. Yeah, no, but it's true. And because there's Marmoush, but no. Marmoush then has only returned twice in his last seven. So it's his Marmoush form hasn't been great in terms of returns for us in the game. But yet he's looked much better at times than Haaland, much more involved than Haaland. And I really would not know what to pick apart from obviously he's half the price.
I think Jules there is literally vocalised the internal debate that so many FPL managers are having at the moment, because it goes back to what I said before. The Man City fixtures are there. We know how good he is. He's scored goals this season. Perhaps we've been spoiled in the past with the level of returns, but when you're investing that much money, we need those returns. 14.8 million is so much of our FPL money, Sam.
Exactly, yeah. And I think that last season we had Alvarez and Haaland together and often we owned them at the same time, and there was a whole conversation around how do you get them both and all of that stuff. This season, I think it's not really a conversation about do you have them both. It's a conversation about which one is better, like which one is best to have in our teams. Now, we know that Haaland has that reassuringly expensive price tag, right? Oh, I'm going to spend 14.8 million on him, and because I've spent that, he's guaranteed to get points. And over the last few weeks, we've seen that. But Jules rightly said, we've not seen the level of returns that you would expect for that budget. If you're going to spend 14.8, it's like I was saying before, if I'm going to spend eight to 9 million on a player, I want a return every week. If I'm going to spend 14 plus million, I want multiple returns every week, because that's a lot of budget. When you compare him to Marmoush, since Marmoush did his debut in game week 23, since then, Marmoush has got 4 goals. It's exactly the same as Haaland. It's only bettered by Beto at Everton, who we had some negative things to say about and then ended up making us all look like idiots by performing really well. He's got 38 points, Marmoush, which is only one less than Chris Wood, who, you know, we've been talking about again, having a brilliant season. So if I was wildcarding, I would not have Haaland. I would have Marmoush instead.
Okay. That's what a lot of people do, I guess. Come on then, Jules, who are your forwards? Going to have to rattle through this section a little bit.
Yeah. Obviously, our friend Jean-Philippe Van Gogh Mateta, I think we should rename him because he obviously lost half of his ear almost. But he's back. He should be back. Again, there's a few players that we mentioned. You like that, Jean-Philippe Van Gogh Mateta? Because they're playing the FA Cup this weekend. So let's wait and see how Mateta is doing, yeah. If he's playing even. And there's a few other players that we mentioned from Manchester City too, against Bournemouth, the Bournemouth player, Kluivert, etc. How they do in this weekend FA Cup before whatever we do for Game Week 30. But yeah, Mateta, of course, Isak, we said, good form with Sweden, scored in the League Cup final before the international break. You think the momentum will be there for Newcastle? Already they are, that's two expensive forwards, plus Haaland potentially. Marmoush is cheaper, as we said. Chris Wood, 3 games without scoring though in the league for Chris Wood now. That's only the second time this season it happened. The first time I think was in September, and that time he stopped at 3, then he scored in his 4th goal. So the drought was never more than 3. And as we said, this is United against Forest in midweek next week. So there's that question mark over Chris Wood, who's been amazing, of course, but he's 3 games in a row without a goal still. And João Pedro was decent, I thought, with Brazil. He's returned well lately before the international break, 3 in his last 4. So potentially João Pedro as the cheaper option, really, of all the others I mentioned, for me, could be a good option.
Okay, so there's a few. Jules has thrown a few names in there.
As quick as possible, sorry.
No, that was really good. And my brain was still trying to process how quick you spoke, but it was really, really helpful for this point of the pod. Sam, just a word on Isak. Hold, essential, double in game week 32. We don't need to talk about him, do we?
So
we're going to go with Isak. Go on.
What? No, she looked at you like, why are you even asking about Isak? Yeah, of course we keep it.
Well, I was just saying, I just need a yes and a move on, which is what she question. Gave me. And now this has taken longer than I needed it to. I was trying to be quick. So we've got, let's all assume, I'm not wildcarding right now, but let's all assume Isak is locked in for all of us. Sam would go for Marmoush on a wild card. I presume then your third slot, Sam, would be if Mateta is fit.
Yeah, which does mean I wouldn't have Chris Wood, which makes me feel all kinds of weird. I think they would be my 100% locked in on Isak and Mateta. Those two would be non-negotiables for me.
Do you not need to see some fitness, and you do not need to check on Mateta this weekend, though?
I mean, if he can walk out on the pitch, I want him in my team. That's how much. That's how good I think he is.
Okay,
like,
big faith.
It just has to be available. It just has to be available. And like I deliberately made transfers last week that were compromised on the basis that I thought I'd want Mateta back this week. Even then,
so
he wasn't.
So now you have to.
So now I have to, yeah.
Okay. So Did you mention, yes, they're your three forwards, no Chris Wood.
Yeah, Mateta, Isak, Marmoush Wood, but then Wood might be out, so we have to wait for news.
Mm. It's bold not to go with Wood though, isn't it?
It's horrible, yeah. Can I have four forwards, please?
I don't know. No. just a word on Cunha, by the way. He's, in case you missed it over this international break, his ban was extended by one game, so we won't now be back until game week 32. He's missing some really good fixtures. He's already missed one. He's going to miss West Ham and Ipswich. Has he already missed two? I've lost track now. Anyway, he's going to miss West Ham and Ipswich. Yeah, he will, won't he? Because he was banned for four games. Yeah. Then by the time he's back, it's Spurs, United, Leicester, Man City, Brighton, Palace, Brentford. Potentially an option. We don't need to talk about this. We're running out of time on the pod. We can talk about it when he comes back, can't we? Jules, give us your three forwards again, because you confused me with your quick answer.
Yeah, Mateta and Isak, I think, again, locked in. Then Marmoush, I have a few. I'm not too sure. And I think João Pedro could be the other. But by then, I might not have any much money left either. So I will have to see. I could just go with a front two and not a front three and have just a rubbish, sorry, there's no rubbish players in the Premier League, but you know what I mean? Like a really cheap, just a filler there somewhere, you know? So yeah, I'll have
to see. Backtrack just in case you ever need them to come off your bench. You need them not to be rubbish.
We will need them for bench boost. Exactly.
Just quickly, Jules, have you actually, that's a very good point actually, Sam. Jules, have you actually pressed the button yet?
No, not yet. But I will, I just, I won't forget. And there's no need really to do it too early. But I'm really worried about the FA Cup though. I won't lie. Because I think there's a lot of players who would come in my team that play this weekend. I would rather they didn't play and they have the weekend off and, you know, could go to Dubai or to Abu Dhabi to forget their bags at the airport for a few days just to rest, get the sun, you know, enjoy the holidays. So I'm going to watch the FA Cup a bit stressed because I just don't want them to get injured.
Yes, that's where I went. I had a lovely time until I left one of my bags.
Destination, just like that.
Which is why I'm wearing these stupid headphones. Just on the FA Cup, by the way, I'm not going to go through and try and give you a really bad explainer of what this weekend does mean for game week 34. But I will tell you that a reminder, game week 34 as it stands, Chelsea, Everton's on, Liverpool, Tottenham will be on, Newcastle, Ipswich will be, as will Wolves versus Leicester. But the outcome of this weekend's games does depend, the rest of the games in game week 34 depend on what happens this weekend. So Arsenal, Palace, if Palace win this weekend, that'll be off in 34. If Bournemouth win this weekend, Bournemouth, Manchester United won't happen in 34. If Brighton beats Nottingham Forest this weekend, they won't play West Ham in game week 34. Man City, Villa, if Man City win, Man City Villa won't be on. I wish I hadn't started this now. Nottingham Forest, Brentford and Southampton, Fulham might also be off in game week 34 if Fulham or if Nottingham Forest progress. That was a really bad explainer. Check it out on the Premier League website. It's far
better.
Just
quickly,
I think this is where we're
But before you go and do your next stream on Twitch with your headphones, I just wanted to say... At least the good thing, if you play your wild card. No, I mean, you look great with it. If you play your wild card.
I've lost my car keys, my phone charger. These headphones are the least of my worries right now.
I'm just saying, I see you on Twitch. I was just saying. But I was going to say, more seriously, if you play your wild card there for game week 30, you will know who is obviously blanking in 34. So that will be a massive help to build your wild card and plan, as you know. Planning, talent, vision, everything you want, headphones. It's good for game week 34. You will know who's not playing and then you can... So your workout will be even better. That's what I meant. Sorry.
For once, you've ended this podcast with quite a useful point.
Exactly.
It's really good. What my point was watch the games this weekend and be wary that if a Premier League team wins... Check out what that is going to do to game week 34. And we'll be back on Monday and we'll recap exactly where we're at with all of that, as well as previewing game. Is it game week 30 next week? Yeah, it is, isn't it?
Yeah.
We just had dreaded game week 30. Oh my gosh, we're into the game weeks that begin with three. That's when I really know the season ends in sight.
That's when you get into chip strategy, Kel. Suddenly your chips are going to be everywhere.
How long can I hold on to use them for? Can I use them all in the last four game weeks of the season? No, guys, I'm not going to do that. Right, I'm going because people have seen enough of me in these stupid headphones. There's no deadline this weekend, so I don't need to say that. As I said, we'll be back on Monday. Jules, are you going to have activated your wildcard by then?
Yeah, probably definitely. Not. It'd be ready, like top notch, you said the other day. Top notch, we said for Monday show.
Okay, brilliant. Well, I'm off to go stream.
See you on Twitch.
Headphones are ridiculous. If you're listening to this as a podcast rather than watching on YouTube, don't bother checking out on YouTube. I look stupid. That's all you need to know. See ya.